भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Continuing, therefore, with the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, entitled Narad's Teaching to Vasudeva, and today's two verses are text 29 and 30. So I'll just go through the Sanskrit, we can repeat. Namaste Vasudevaya.
Namaste Vasudevaya.
Namak Sankarsanaya cha. Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya. Tubhyam Bhagavate Namaha. Narayanaya Rishaye. Purushaya Mahatmane. Vishveshwaraya Vishvaya. Sarvabhutatmane Namaha.
Namaste Vasudevaya. Namah Sankarsanaya cha.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Obeisances. Tite. Unto you. Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Vasudev.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Obeisances.
Sankarsanaya.
Sankarsanaya.
To Sankarsan.
Sankarsan.
Cha.
Cha.
And. Pradyumnaya.
Pradyumnaya.
To Pradyumna.
Aniruddhaya.
To Aniruddha.
To
the temple president.
Tubhyam.
To you.
Bhagavate.
The personality of Godhead.
Namaha.
Obeisances. Narayanaya.
Rishaye.
To Lord Narayan Rishi.
Purushaya.
The supreme enjoying male. And the creator of the material universe.
Mahatmane.
The supreme being.
Vishva
Ishvaraya. The Lord of the universe.
Vishvaya.
And himself. The very form of the universe.
Sarvabhuta
Atmane. The super soul of all living beings.
Namaha.
Obeisances. Translation. Obeisances to you, O Supreme Lord Vasudeva, and to your forms of Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all obeisances unto you. O Lord Narayan Rishi, O Creator of the Universe, Best of Personalities, Master of this Cosmos and Original Form of the Universe, O Supersoul of all created entities, all homage unto you. Please repeat, obeisances to you.
Obeisances to you.
O Supreme Lord Vasudeva.
O Supreme Lord Vasudeva.
and to your form of Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all obeisances unto you. O Lord Narayan Rishi, O Creator of the Universe, Best of Personality, Master of this Cosmos, and Original Form of the Universe, O Supersoul of all created entities, all homage unto you. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explained that although Lord Krishna appeared at the end of Dwapara Yuga, great sages chanted this verse from the beginning of that age in expectation of his appearance. Ordinary living entities, although eternally subordinate to the Lord, become absorbed in attempting to dominate the material creation, yet ultimately remain under the control of the Supreme Lord. The constitutional position of the living entity is engagement in the Lord's service. It is further the constitutional position of the material nature to be engaged by the living entity in satisfying the transcendental desires of the Lord. Thus these prayers, as mentioned in this verse, are offered to the Supreme Lord in accordance with the Pancharatra and the Vedic mantras, so that one may become fixed in remembering his eternal subordination to the Absolute Truth. The Supreme Living Entity, Krishna, eternally manifests himself as the Chaturvyuha, or quadruple plenary expansion. The purport of this prayer is that one should give up his false ego and pray to this Chaturvyuha by offering them obeisances. Although the Absolute Truth is one without a second, the Absolute Truth displays his unlimited opulences and potencies by expanding himself in innumerable plenary forms, of which the Chaturvyuha is a principal expansion. The original being is Vasudev, the personality of Godhead. When the Godhead manifests his primeval energies and opulences, he is called Sankarshan. Pradyumna is the basis of the Vishnu expansion, who is the soul of the entire universe. And Aniruddha is the basis of the personal manifestation of Vishnu as the supersoul of every individual entity within the universe. You got that? Among the four plenary expansions mentioned here, the original expansion is Vasudev, and the other three are considered to be particular manifestations of him. When the living entity forgets that both he himself as well as the material nature are meant for the Lord's service, the quality of ignorance becomes prominent, and the conditioned entity desires to become himself the master. Thus, the conditioned soul imagines that he is a very important person within society and that he is a great philosopher. The Vedic mantras and Pancharatra give mankind instructions about devotional service to the personality of Godhead, which free one from the contamination of considering oneself a prestigious member of society or a great philosopher. One, in knowledge, should recognize himself as a tiny servant of the Supreme Absolute Truth. In Dwapara Yuga, deity worship of the Lord is prominent. Such deity worship is ultimately aimed at the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Without hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, one cannot perform deity worship. In deity worship, it is required that the worshipper glorify the names, forms, qualities, paraphernalia, entourage, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. When such glorification is complete, the worshipper becomes eligible to realize transcendental knowledge through hearing about the Lord. Om Ajnana Kimananda Sriyaginanjana Shalakayak Shakshuru Nilitam Jena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the basic theme that we can focus on is that the living entity, us, are eternally subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead makes all sorts of arrangements to get us back to this understanding. Just to speak a little bit about logic on this point. No one will disagree that we are controlled. And how many times would Prabhupada say, you know, you are controlled from morning to night in all circumstances? We are definitely controlled. So if we are controlled, then the question comes, and who is the controller? We'll speak about this later, but the Mayavad philosophy comes in and says, well, actually, we are all God, we are all controllers. But if we're all God, if we're all controllers, then why are we an illusion? If the living entity is independent, then why is he an illusion right now? The big question we ask to the impersonalist. Then the answer comes, well, because it is a lila. Right? We are all God, and we are an illusion, but actually it's all a lila, a divine pastime. So then the next logical question comes, oh, wait a second, is 1,300 deaths in Israel a lila? Right. Is old age, disease, death a lila? Is a toothache that we are forced to suffer and go to the dentist a lila? How can that be God? So when we actually apply logic to this issue, it really makes sense that living entities are individual, first of all, and that they are subordinate to the Supreme Personality of God. This is confirmed in all the Shastras. Let's quote a few verses. Nityo nityanam cetanas cetananam eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. Of all the eternals, all the individual jivas, there is one supreme, eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman, one supreme living being who is providing and maintaining all the other living entities, the infinite number of living entities. Among them all, there is one. That's Krishna. And that's not us. Sorry to break the news. Actually, we're very, very, very small. Abhivam sho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manaksashtan indriyani prakriti shtani karshati. Karshati means struggling. We are tiny little entities and we are struggling with the six senses, which include the mind. So how can we say we are supreme or we are independent? We are struggling with the senses, including the mind, life after life after life, material body after material body. Actually, as we show people in the Bhagavad Gita, when we try to distribute them a book or give them a Bhagavad Gita or sell them a Bhagavad Gita, there's that painting of the five senses and the horse and the reins. But we are the little soul inside the chariot of the body, and the senses are pulling us everywhere. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddeshya arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarvabhutani riddeshya yantra arudani mayaya, as on a machine. But still, because of false ego, because of what the purport speaks about, ignorance, the living entity, we consider ourselves very, very big, very, very important. And it goes to the point of lunacy, of considering ourselves God. Aham mameti. Aham mameti. I am the center and Everything belongs to me. The whole world revolves around me. But that's such an illusion once again. We are tiny. We are insignificant. Shakespeare said this very beautiful statement in Macbeth, I think. Out, out, brief candle. Life is but a walking shadow. Describing what life is. Life, you know, material life. Life is but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. There's so much sound and fury in the life of a conditioned soul. Everything is so important to us. Everything that is happening to our material body and to our mind within a tiny speck of time. And there's so much sound and fury about it. But yet it signifies nothing. Because it's so temporary, it's so fleeting. Nasato vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate svataha, ubayor apidrish tvantas, tvanayor tatsvatashidhi. The sages have concluded that of the non-existent, there is no endurance. But again, because of false ego, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvajaha, ahankara vimuratma, kartaham iti manyate. We think we're so, I mean we, these conditioned souls, I, and 99.9% of living entities in this whole material universe think themselves very, 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 very important. There was a band in the 1980s called Tears for Fears, a rock band, and they wrote a very nice philosophical song called Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It goes, all for freedom and for pleasure, nothing ever lasts forever. Everybody wants to rule the world. Well, that's the story of the conditioned soul. The big illusion. Even when Krishna is personally present, that illusion is there. Pondraka, the best example. Pondraka thought himself, it's mentioned in the Krishna book, he thinks I'm Krishna. And he glued plastic arms on himself, right? And walked around. It's almost comical. And he walked around saying, I'm Krishna. What a joke. In the 19th century, we have the example in Bengal of this so-called incarnation of Vishnu called Vishkishan that Bhaktivinoda Thakur demolished. This is a true story. There was this man, he was a tantric, he had some mystic powers. He was able to hypnotize people and really, you know, cast a spell on the innocent, and he really called himself Vishnu. He was literally thinking, I am an incarnation of Vishnu, and there were so many people who really thought he was. And he had two assistants. Their names was Brahma and Shiva. And as the Supreme Personality would, he enjoyed Rasa Leela with his gopis. So you had so many innocent ladies, married, unmarried, who would go and become victim of this rascal. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur fought very hard to destroy the man. The guy cast a spell on Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his family. His wife almost died. He was very, very sick. Finally, they arrested him. They cut off his hair. He died in jail. And these are extreme examples. The more subtle examples of this same tendency, though, is what's prominent among all of us to a greater or lesser degree, and that is the desire basically to be the supreme controller. And that is packaged very nicely through the Mayavad philosophy. Okay, I may not be Vishnu, I may not enjoy Rasa Leela, but
Can't we all be Vishnu? So you are God, I'm God, we're all God. And that's what we hear a lot in Hinduism today. I mean, you go to India today, it's so prominent. And that has seeped into the West. And therefore Prabhupada is glorified as Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadishatarine. He's come here to drive out this illusory concept of Mayavad. Understand, we are all God, everything is one. So the living entity is subordinate. Subordinate. We are small, God is great. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Madhudvishwaru, who was one of the pioneers in Australia. And in one of the letters he mentions, Krishna consciousness can be summed up in 5 words. Krishna is the supreme controller. And we are the living entities. So to make us again aware of this reality, as stated in the Shastra, Krishna makes all sorts of wonderful arrangements to help us come to that understanding once again, to help us reawaken. And this is touched upon in this verse, in this passage of Bhagavatam. All the avatars are described. Narad Muni is describing to Vasudeva the different yuga avatars. So Krishna is so kind, he himself comes. Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. In every yuga. And here in this section of the Bhagavatam is described how he comes, what he does. In such a yuga he comes like this, and he does that. In Dwarpa Yuga he comes like this. And in 2 verses from this verse, I don't want to spoil it, I don't want to speak about it. I hope Indrajun Maharaj can speak on this verse. In 2 verses from now, we have the crest jewel verses about Lord Chaitanya. Krishna varnam trisha krishna sango pangasta parsharam yadyai sankirtana prayer yajanti hi sumedha saha. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. That's coming up in a couple of days. Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya came, and he mentions within the memory of everyone. There's a purport, where actually it's in the first canto, chapter 3. The Prabhupada mentions within the memory of everyone, Lord Chaitanya has come to inaugurate this Sankirtan movement. So we'll leave that description of Lord Chaitanya's advent for the next speaker. But here we're just touching on this principle that Krishna comes again and again, and makes all sorts of arrangements by coming himself, as we've described here, and as will be described in 2 verses with Lord Chaitanya, which is the most significant incarnation or avatar appearance of Krishna, because he's the most merciful. But he also not only comes himself, but along with himself he establishes a process, the Dharma for the age. So in Dwarpa Yuga, the process was deity worship. And as will be described in 2 verses, and as we all know because we're part of ISKCON, which is the Hare Krishna movement, the Dharma, the Yuga Dharma for this Kali Yuga is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna comes himself, establishes a process. He leaves also scriptures. Maya Mukta Jivera Nahi, Krishna's Maya Mukta, this is one of the favorite verses of Harinamananda Prabhu. for those who may not know, in the late 90s or 90s in Europe, there was one devotee called Harinamananda Prabhu, a disciple of Harikesh Swami, who was a very big book distributor, and he had very nice realizations and great results. And anyway, this is one of his favorite verses. Maya Mukta Jiviranahi Sota Krishna Gyan Kripaya Kripaya Krishna Ja. Prabhu, can you help with that Bengali? Do you know that verse? Well, basically the translation is that out of causeless mercy, out of kindness, Krishna has left the Vedic scriptures, the Shastras. So this is another arrangement of Krishna for us to realize that we're subordinate to him. He comes, he says the process, and he leaves scriptures behind, Shastras. And so by reading the Shastras, by reading again and again and again, you know, the hammer is hitting our stubborn mind. You are not the controller. But yes, I am. No, you're not. Krishna is the supreme controller. For example, this verse itself, this prayer. Take a so-called sophisticated, educated, you know, non-religious man or woman of today's society. And you tell him or her, okay, please read this verse and please repeat this on a daily basis. Obeisances to you, O Supreme Lord Vasudev, your form of Sankarshan Pradyumna and Aniruddha, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all obeisances unto you. Right? All homages unto you. In the purport, it's interesting, Prabhupada, I mean, it's mentioned these prayers, as mentioned in this verse, are offered to the Supreme Lord in accordance to the Pancharatra, so that one may become fixed in remembering his eternal subordination to the Absolute Truth. So we chant these prayers again and again and again so that it kind of creeps into our mind, finally, once and for all, that we're not Krishna. We're not the supreme controllers. We're not, you know, big people. We're very small, insignificant servants of Krishna. But show this verse to an educated man or so-called today's society. Ask him or her, please read this every day. I remember when I first came in contact with devotees. This was a few short years ago, 1993. And I called my best friend, Vesko Raspopov. And I said, listen to this verse. Namo Pramanya Devaya Gopramanya. I read to him, you know, I offer my humble obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the well-wisher of the Brahmanas and the lover of the cows. And he told me, have you gone nuts? Have you gone crazy? I'm still in touch with the guy, but he's quite not very devotionally inclined, unfortunately. But the point is, for a materialist, this is shocking. What? Subordination? To who? You know, and then recite these prayers, all homages unto you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Creator and Controller of everyone, you know? Why? And some of us may still have it, I know I do, have that little trace of envy in the heart, or big trace of envy. You know, after all is said and done, we've done our service, and we've done the Harinam, and we distributed books, and we're worshipping the deity, but you know, come on, you know, I'm still the number one, I mean, isn't it? Okay, Krishna, fine, but ultimately, like, you know, I'm the one who counts, right? So it's hard to rip off that desire to be, you know, number one, to be Krishna. Takes a long time. So we have to be patient and go on with the process. So Krishna is patient. Again, he comes himself, sets up the process, gives us the scriptures. He's there in our heart already as a super soul. Knock, knock, knock. Come on, turn your face to me. The two birds are sitting on a tree, and one bird is eating the fruit, and the other bird is simply waiting for that bird to turn his face towards him. That's a super soul. He's waiting life after life after life. Are you ready yet?
No.
Okay, I'll wait. next life, next birth. Are you ready yet? No. Okay, fine.
This, incidentally, is very interesting how the Vedic theology is so different from those theologies that have only one life in their system. Like, you know, those systems who don't accept reincarnation. Right? You get one life, and that's it. And then if you miss out, you go to hell forever. And forever is a long time. Forever means forever. This is, you know, a tangent, but it makes you think, what kind of God would be so cruel as to give you only one chance, and then if you blow it, you burn in fire forever, for eternity. The Vedic conception is much more sober, realistic, and in line with the concept of a very merciful God, very patient God, who respects our free will. Okay, you don't want to surrender to me, fine. Well, you'll have to suffer the consequence, but go ahead. Live out your desires and you'll get another body, and another body, and another body, and another body, body after body after body, ad infinitum if necessary. And the super soul or Krishna will just be waiting there patiently. Okay, whenever you want, whenever you want. That's a merciful God. That's a patient God. But in all respects, the Vedic conception is so much superior to what we see around. And continuing on this tangent, everything about the Vedic culture, and especially the scriptures, is so much more detailed than what's around on planet Earth today. For example, let's look at this purport, the Chaturvyuha expansion. How detailed explanation is that? Vishnu is there, then becomes Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. Now, what other spiritual text on the face of this planet has such detailed information about spiritual reality? In this connection, I found a passage in a morning walk in 1973 in Los Angeles, where that Bhrigu Patiprabhu, who used to be in Australia, also a wonderful disciple of Prabhupada, who was based in Los Angeles, showed me one time on the folio. And this is an in-house quote. It's not something you may say at an interfaith convention, but it's interesting. This is May 13th, Cheviot Hills Park, Los Angeles, 1973. I was 2 months old, and I was in Los Angeles too. I missed Prabhupada. Anyway, Prabhupada says, nonsense scripture, and people become nonsense. So accept Vedic literature, all nonsense scripture. They are not scripture, manufactured. And this is the sort of shocking quote. This Bible was manufactured by the saint, this saint, that saint, according to their imagination. It was not spoken by Lord Jesus Christ. What was spoken by Jesus Christ, that they ignore. Thou shalt not kill. They kill. Nobody is following Christian principle, neither Bible is perfect. But that, if we say, we will be shot. And he laughs. So we should have so much faith and conviction that what we have in our hands, this Srimad Bhagavatam, these books that Prabhupada translated and gave the world, have the highest, most profound, most complex, most complete explanation and description of reality. From the basic material understanding to the highest realms of most esoteric aspects of theology. So I'm not boring you. It's okay. I'm almost done. Just want to come back to the point, to the theme. Krishna makes all sorts of arrangements again to make us understand that we're subordinate. I had to speak about prasadam distribution, which is one of the
means by which we can understand that we're subordinate through the mouth in this Kali Yuga. Because in Australia, Prabhupada said, we will conquer Australia with prasadam, or Australia will be conquered by prasadam distribution. Is that a quote that's actually correct? Yes? Prabhupada said that? And coming from other places in the world, coming to Australia and seeing how in this country there's so much prasadam distribution, and seeing the results, the concrete results of this massive prasadam distribution, just impelled me to say a few words about it. I don't know about you, but I tend to think that prasadam is, you know, it's okay, it's nice, it's something, it's spiritual, But it doesn't have an actual effect on people's consciousness. But coming to Australia again and again for the second year in a row just makes me convinced all the more that food offered to Krishna has spiritual potency invested in it. And when people put that food in their mouth and swallow it and chew it and swallow it, their consciousness actually becomes changed. It's so clear when you see how favorable people are to Krishna consciousness in this country. And it's not a coincidence. It's not just because they're pious and, you know, they're nice people, and other people in other countries are, you know, not so nice because of their karma. That may be there. But 30 years ago, people in Australia hated Hare Krishna, isn't it? 30 years ago, now the devotees had a reputation of being a cult, and you know, you couldn't go out with a tilak in the street before being, you know, spit upon. Isn't it? Rigpa Pachi Prabhu used to tell me people hated Hare Krishna 30 years ago in Australia. But so much, you know, preaching in all spheres, and prasadam has been distributed, and as a result, hundreds of thousands of people have eaten prasad, and as a result have become very favorable. Their heart has softened, and that's what happens. It's amazing. It really is amazing. And I hope other yatras in the world follow this example, you know, of massive restaurants and massive catering and massive distribution of prasadam, because it really has a massive effect on the people. It purifies and makes them closer to Krishna. And seeing this makes me remember of a thing that Shivaram Maharaj mentioned once, and it's quoted in, of all places, the Nectar of Book Distribution. It's the one quote in that whole entire book which really, you know, pushes the importance of book distribution, where the equality of all services is established by Prabhupada. Actually, there's also another place where Nirantar Prabhu asks Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And everyone's waiting. This is Atlanta, 1974. Everyone's waiting for Prabhupada to say, if you distribute books, right? Because the whole temple is full of book distributors, Radha Damodar and everyone. And Prabhupada pauses and says, if you love Krishna. So similarly, Shivaram Maharaj remembers personal encounter with Prabhupada, personal thing that Prabhupada personally told him on two different occasions. When he was a young, zealous book distributor, brahmachari, he mentions, he asked Prabhupada on a morning walk, Prabhupada, what is more important, book distribution, Harinam, or prasadam distribution? And just like Nirantar Prabhu was expecting that answer in Atlanta, he was also hoping that Prabhupada would, you know, give him encouragement and say, yes, you know, book distribution is the most important. Prabhupada said, they are equally important. So he took that, and then a few months later, in another city in North America, Prabhupada came again. He happened to be there. He went on a morning walk. Prabhupada asked him the same question again. Prabhupada, what is more important? And Prabhupada gave him the same answer. They are equally important. Prasadam distribution, Harinam, and book distribution. So this should give us, I mean, especially those who are involved in prasadam distribution, give us great, great encouragement. What we're doing is not, you know, second or secondary or less important or less essential. It is on the absolute platform. And
by definition, devotional service is absolute. Whatever service we're doing, sweeping the floor, or taking care of our baby, that's devotional service. Worshipping the deity, cleaning the floor, distributing prasad, giving a Bhagavatam class. Devotional service is absolute. And I personally think if we, like in North America, for example, if we emphasize that prasadam distribution is just as important, as absolute, as efficient as other forms of preaching, you'd have tremendous results in North America. Because the scope for prasadam distribution in North America is just phenomenal. And people are into vegetarianism and stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about that because I'm just really impressed and really encouraged. My faith in Krishna consciousness is just increasing all the more by seeing how people are so favorable. I mean, you approach them with books and, you know, they're nice, they're favorable. Why? Because they're eating prasadam. I was at Woodford Festival, which is a big festival near the Woolambar Farm near Brisbane. It's a yearly 4-day or 5-day folk festival. And they have their Govinda's catering thing there, and they distribute, first of all, they bring in a lot of Lakshmi, which is great. And then the people, I asked the people, you know, out of curiosity while I was serving the plate, so, you know, do you like this food? Oh, I've been waiting all year for this food. Another person, oh, when I don't eat this food, I feel withdrawal symptoms. a young girl, I asked her, and she says, yeah, I that's all I think about all year. And her father comes and says, yeah, that's all. Each time we go to a festival, she says, Dad, please go see if the Hare Krishnas have their food here. I have a whole list. I don't remember all of them. But I asked 20 people in a row. 20 people. And out of the 20, I got 15 incredible answers. So, anyway. It's wonderful how prasadam is being distributed in Australia. And that is just the kindness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The secret weapon, along with, of course, the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, which will be explained by our next speaker in a couple of days. I wanted to tell you one story that happened to me in Bhakti Charumarj, which is kind of in this line, so if I may, I have 5 minutes left. May I? Yeah? This is in regards to this point again of, you know, accepting subordination. We in this room at least theoretically accept, okay, Krishna is God. We've come to that point. Right? But there may be subtle lingering traces of envy and lust and, you know, all these anarthas, which translate in desires for name, fame, adoration, distinction. So, this is bringing the point a little deeper. In non-devotees, they don't care for Krishna. You know, in some crazy cases, they think they're Krishna themselves, like Pondraka, or in a more subtle, refined way, they adhere to Mayavad philosophy. Yes, we're all one. It's basically the same thing. We are at least have accepted, no, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am the Eternal Servant, and we're working on it. But while we work on it, we've got some, you know, subtle issues to purify. And that's what we have to be, you know, careful about. So we may not want to become Krishna, maybe we may want to become a very big devotee, a very important devotee, a very special devotee. Right? Okay, Krishna is God, but Arbo? See, Krishna is silencing me now. I think I'm so great. Arbo. Anyway, so this desire for name and fame is something we have to be aware of. And there's one quote from Bhakti Charumarj that I really like. He says, you know, we have not joined this movement to become big devotees. We have joined this movement to become humble devotees. That's a nice thing to remember. Because of our past habits and false ego, we may have, you know, a not so perceivable desire to become very famous, to become an important devotee. And we should always remember, no, I don't want to become big. I don't want to become important. I don't want to have a special position. I just want to be a humble servant, period. And this is the story I wanted to say in this connection. One time in New Vrindavan, I was traveling with Bhakti Charumarj as his secretary. And he introduced me to somebody. And I forgot who one day. And he said, this is Chandrasekhar. He is my life and soul. So I got really puffed up, right? Like, I'm the life and soul of my spiritual master. Can you believe that? So the very next day was Bhima Ekadashi. And Maharaj fasted all day from water and grain. And the following day was Dwadashi. And the break time was 6:15. It was 6:15. Right? But I had been told it was 6:30. So at 6:15, Maharaj is in the office checking his emails, logging in, and some devotee comes up to him and says, Maharaj, would you like to break Ekadashi fast with some mangal sweet, some sweet rice? So he says, yes. So I'll bring it right now. So it's 6:15, so I'm thinking, oh, you know, he's going to break fast earlier than the time for breaking the fast. So I should come to the rescue of my spiritual master. So I say, you know, I mentioned to him, actually, you know, the breakfast is not yet. It's at 6:30. Is there any way to make this microphone work, or is it just gone?
Battery.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So Maharaj knew it was 6:15. So when I tell him that, he says, Chandrasekhar, come here. So I come and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get something here. And he opens the computer and he goes to the Vaishnav calendar. And then he shows me with his finger, he goes, okay, what time does it say the breakfast is? And I look, 6:15. So I said, 6:15. And then he said words that I'll never forget. They're like singed. Right in my heart. He looks up and goes, Chandrasekhar, you think you know better than your spiritual master, isn't it? And then he said the words that just like really tore my heart apart. He said, actually, you think you know better than Prabhupada, isn't it? So I was devastated. So I walked out of the room dazed, you know. And then I turn around and I see him leave to the bathroom. So he goes to the bathroom. So I kind of walk back to the room and I see on the desk a half cup of sweet rice. So I was thinking, okay, he took half of it and he just went to wash his hands. And for a fallen disciple, you know, what greater hope, what only rope of mercy is there available than the Maha-Maha-Prasad of the spiritual master, right? So I go in there and I take the cup and I go in the corner of the room and I sit down. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm so fallen, this is the mercy. And he had just gone to wash his hands before taking the cup. But just as I've got the cup on my mouth and I'm swallowing the sweet rice, he comes in. After a full day of fasting, Bhima Ekadashi, and he looks at the table and he goes, where's the sweet rat? And just when he says sweet rat, he sees me and I'm like that with the cup in my mouth. And he looked so disgusted, he said, thank you very much. And he walked out. So then I arranged for the whole tray of Mahaprasad and I ran to the chalet with a whole plate. I asked him, please take, I didn't know. And he said, okay, just leave it there, he said. But, funny story. And he says, you think you know better than your spiritual master, you know better than than Prabhupada. I was like, wow. Jai. So any questions or comments?
Just a comment on the point you're making, the Shah and Shri Krishna Sankirtana ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mark.